Sunday, and we'll explain that in just a little bit. But it is the Sunday that Jesus enters in Jerusalem. It is, he'll begin his Passion Week this week, and as we culminate with Easter next Easter Sunday, and just the whole week, the last week that our Savior walked this earth. But there was a great entry that on a Palm Sunday where he was king for a few moments. But I want you to know he's king, he's always been king, and he'll always be king forever and ever. I appreciate that about my Lord and Savior. No matter how he rode in, he'll come back one day on a white horse. You understand, as the conqueror and the hero. We look forward to that day. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. We'll be looking at 1 through 11. If you've got God's Word, take it in your hand, whether it's electronically or whether you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one there in front of you in the pew Bible. Take that and stand to your feet and reverence God's Word. Mark chapter 11, and we're looking at 1 through 11. Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. The Word of God says this. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one is set. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosening the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus has commanded. So they let them go, and then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And so when he had looked around at all these things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name on this Palm Sunday that you will touch our life. We've already been blessed this morning, Lord. We've already sensed your presence. And I pray, dear God, if somebody's here that's looking for you, a touch from Christ, that they find it here this morning, because we ask these things in his name." And all God's people said, you may be seated. For 3.5 years, Jesus has ministered. He has performed great miracles, a lot of things. The recording in the Gospels, the four Gospels, all these things. But it seemed like every time that he performed a great miracle, what would he say? Jim, what would he say? "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." Why? What? "Don't tell anybody," because his time had not come. And yet now we see that he's entering in Jerusalem, no longer hidden from man, but it's almost like he wants the whole world to know. And he wants us to know this on this April 14th, 2019. I had to think about the date, and I remembered what day it was. April 14th, 2019. He wants the whole world to know that he's coming into Jerusalem, and he's coming for a reason. Why is he coming? For you and for me. He tried to avoid publicity, and now he's letting it be known that the Christ is coming, the King is coming to Jerusalem. I want us to look at some lessons that we can learn on his trip, on his journey. He's headed to the cross, folks. He's headed to the cross for you and I. He's headed to that place that redemption will be bought for you and I, that we can have hope on this day, that this word could be real and relevant to us today. Not outdated in any way, but real and touching the lives of men and women and boys and girls. I want us to learn some lessons from this that we can learn from him. First lesson we can learn, look what it says, Jesus is in control. Can anybody say amen? Do you understand he's in control this morning of everything? We've heard some terrible news this week, didn't we, of a young man taking his parents' life that shook our county and schools. And say, is he in control? My friend, he's in control. I want you to see today, it says now, Jesus is in control. Now when, verses 1 through 3, now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. Jesus has control, and he was in control. This was not a divine coincidence. This was divine providence. Do you understand? From eternity past, Peter tells us, before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. And yet, well, I want you to understand that that moment from eternity is being set in time and space. Christ is headed for the cross. He is headed to do that which he came to do. The atonement of sin, our sin. And Jesus and his disciples, as they draw near, we see that he was in total control of everything happening. And just like he's in total control now, what does he say? Now, when they drew near to these villages, these two villages outside of Jerusalem, Bethphage, which means the unripe figs, and Bethany, and the Mount of Olives, and we know that Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived there. That was Jesus' friends. That's where he went to. Wouldn't you like to be the house that Jesus went and stayed at when you came into town? Wouldn't that be cool? That was his friends, and so we know that. We know that he spent time with them in that last week. And so what does he do? He sends two disciples. We don't even know who the two disciples were. But he sends them on a task. And what he says, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find the colt tied, which no one has sat on. Loose it and bring it. How did he know this? He was God. His omniscience. We see pictures of his omniscience. Yes, we talked Wednesday night about how in Philippians it says, even though he was God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, coming in the form of a servant, in the likeness of men, and being found as a man, he humbled himself, even what? Even the point of the cross. So he was God. He didn't forsake being God. At no time was he less deity. Do you understand that today? Just because he was man, he was totally God, totally man. You say, I don't understand that. And scratch your head. Listen, there's only been one. Only will be one. And you'll get to see that one day because of what he's done, if he's done it in your life. So he sends those two disciples. How did he know that colt would be there? How did he know that where to find it? He was in control of everything. This was not a chance happening. This was not plan B in God, on God's agenda. This was set in time. Well, from the beginning of time, now that's what blows our mind. From the beginning of time, this was going to happen at this appointed time. That's being in control, is it not? Do you understand that's the same way with your life? You might think that things are out of control right now. Many of you would say, amen. It seems out of control, don't it, sometimes? Do you understand that it's in control when Christ is in control of it? He controls everything. We see that in this week, this Palm Sunday, as he's leading up to his crucifixion. And listen to what he says. And if anyone says to you, he's got it all covered. Do you understand that? I like this. Jesus got it all covered. If anyone says to you, why you're doing this? Because if somebody steps up to your car and says, I need the keys to your Chevy, look, are you just going to turn them over and say, here you go, take off, buddy? Colt was their Chevy, okay? It wasn't their Ford. That would have been a goat or a donkey or something. Sorry, Sam. Listen, this would be like, well, I'm serious. Somebody stepping up and going, I'm going to borrow your car for a little bit. No. He said, if somebody asks you what's going on, you know what you tell them? The master needs this. The master needs it. He said, it will be fine. You see him in control? Do you see it's a total plan that he has for us? And he's saying, hey, only in his omniscience could Jesus have known that the donkey was there. Listen, Matthew said, and these are all recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, and they say Matthew said it was a donkey and her foal, Matthew 21:1. At the moment they had been found, these two disciples come and they find it just as how Jesus said. And we know in verse 5 that when they loosed it, people said, hey, where are you going? Master needs it. He was in control of every moment, every situation. All of this carefully laid out by the Lord who has planned. And that's what he said. The Lord has need of it. He had it planned, everything to the last detail. Why? He was in complete control. He looked down through eternity. And he knew that David Cooper would be the Savior. That he would be born April 14, 1962 to James and Barbara Cooper. But he also knew that he would be born again February 28, 1990. And he left me 28 years I walked in darkness and longed to have something that would bring me fulfillment. Longed for the things that would, for peace within. He knew I needed a Savior. And so he's in control and he's headed for that moment for who? For you and for me. Don't overlook the importance. It mentions the Mount of Olives, by the way. And think about it in biblical history, the Mount of Olives. The disciples, we know that Zechariah will tell us one day that he'll stand on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14, 4 through 5. He'll stand on the Mount of Olives one day when he returns. Do you understand? Just like Palm Sunday, just as he's entering in to go to the cross, that one day he'll return for you and I. Do you believe that this morning? Does it cause you to live differently? Does it cause us to understand that even though things might seem out of control, there is a control? His name is Jesus. Does it cause us to live differently? We, in our Sunday school class today, which, Aaron, it's Aaron's birthday up there. I see you trying to hide. Oh, Aaron Norris's birthday. That's right, trying to get down behind that thing. In our Sunday school class today, we were talking about James, and James was talking about faith without works is what? Dead. Dead. So if we understand that he's in control, then will our life not live that out no matter what comes our way? Will we not have this peace that surpasses all understanding? Will we not have this joy that goes beyond our circumstances? He's in control, folks. He's God. We should worship the one that's always in control. When we come here on Sunday mornings, even though maybe your week's been out of control, we should worship the one that's in control of everything. That should be our focus. Jesus is in control. But secondly, look, Jesus submits to God's Word. Look at 4 through 7. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to him, "What are you doing loosening the colt?" And they spoke and said to them, Jesus has commanded. So they let it go, and then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. We see that Jesus said it just like it would happen. You know what happens when we walk in obedience? It happens the way that he says it will. Walking in obedience is the key. You say, what is the will of God in my life? There's no pastor can tell you, no preacher, nobody can tell you, but God's Word can. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What is God's will? It's written here in these words. Do we search the Scripture to find out what His will is? To live it out in obedience? Because when they went in obedience and did what He said, they found it just the way that He said it would be. Aren't you glad for that? The promises of God that withstand all things. Even my own fickleness and my own feelings. Say, you got feelings? Yes, I do. I got my cup full by that little... You did that. That's where you were, wasn't it, when I couldn't find you, huh? Chris did that. Well, that was sweet. Thank you for doing that. I got my cup. I'm in touch with my feelings. I'm one of them guys, okay? Do you understand, though, that my feelings can let me down? I can feel one way and it not be line up with God's Word. But His promises, man, they're always true. They're always something that I can count on. I can't always count on myself. Or even the people I love the most. I can count on Jesus, though. His promises are forever true. As he finds his way into Jerusalem. Think about this. And Mark, with simplicity, he tells us in verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. I love Mark because he just puts it out there just in simplicity. He's not trying to over-dramatize it in any way. He's saying this is the way it happened. But please understand there's much more here because Matthew says, now this took place that what was spoken through the prophet might be
see, this was not just chance happened. This were not just random choices. Again, he's in control, but he's following the word of God and the plan of God to the letter. Zechariah said that he would do that. This would happen. He said that it might be fulfilled. Oh, that God would find that in my own life. That God would find that in my own desires, that what I do and how I act and my day is set out, that it might be, that the word of God might be fulfilled in me. What kind of word that I understand that he said for me to go out and shine his light, to be the salt. That I understand that he tells me to treat people and to love people because of the love of God that's been shown to me. Don't forget, it's all planned out. Jesus had walked everywhere in his ministry through Israel, except on the occasions that he would get on a boat to go to the other side. He never rode an animal. Nowhere in Scripture do we see him riding an animal whatsoever. And yet we see him here. For one and this on one and only time, he rides a small colt. All of this is highly symbolic, by the way, of what? In light of the Old Testament and the prophecies and the allusions that were go forth. Zechariah 9:9, listen to what it says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. You understand, written thousands of years before this ever happened. And here it is. Jesus fulfilling Scripture. Our Lord lived his life from the beginning and end in total and absolute submission to the Word of God. Can we say that? Can we say that? John 5:39 says, "You." This is his Scripture, about Scripture. Jesus talking to a couple of men. He says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Oh my goodness. From the very beginning, from Genesis 1:1 to the last scripture where it says amen in Revelation, that these testify of Jesus, every jot, every tittle. Go with me. When we read our scripture in Old Testament and we see it, keep speaking of the one to come. See the one that's coming here on this morning that we celebrate. Coming into Jerusalem for a purpose. And a plan to die on the cross for you and me. His death, his life, his resurrection are the very unfolding of the drama of redemption. Take a gospel-centered hermeneutic in your reading of all the Scripture and you'll see it point to Christ every time. Every time. If we are followers of Jesus, we also must submit to the Word of God. Where are you struggling, my friend, this morning? Where's your struggles? There's a scripture for you, by the way. If you've ever had me, and I'm friends with everybody. I don't think of many times I am your pastor, but I think of you more as my family. You understand? We're family. And so when we come together, if you have problems, I hope most of the time when I counsel you from the Word of God, not my opinion. Does anybody know that you don't need my opinion? You don't need me to have an agenda. You need the Word of God. And so when I stand here and I preach, I don't come with an agenda. I don't come with a political view. I don't come forcing you to, this is what I believe. I come teaching you, this is what the Word of God says. And when we do that and we line up with it, guess what we find? Unity, cohesiveness, family, accountability. All these great words that means community, family. He kept the Word of God, and we as followers must submit to the Word of God as well. What a great example for us. Well, we see him as Jesus in control. We see that Jesus submits to the Word of God, but last we see that Jesus is our Savior, verses 8 through 11. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before him, those who followed, cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, the hour was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here's the king coming. Do you understand? understand, this is the Passover ceremony. There's millions of Jews headed to Jerusalem, carrying their Passover lambs, probably many of them. So the road is cluttered and full. They had heard about Jesus and the miracles. He had raised Lazarus from the dead not too long. He had healed a couple blind men coming through Jericho. Man, so this crowd was jacked up. They're headed for the Jerusalem and that Passover where they would celebrate the Passover, which was when Jesus or when God brought them out of Egypt, and the Passover lamb would be slain at twilight. Please understand the great picture that we see here. They're on the road, and as he's entering, you know what they do? See that scene? He's not on a white horse like a Roman conqueror. He's on that foal. They spread their clothes on the road. And we know from John 12 that the leafy branches were palm branches, Palm Sunday. That's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. And this was an ancient custom in that time of the citizens to throw their garment in front of the king. Right over. Really, it was a showing that we place ourselves at your feet. We place ourselves at your subjection, your king. Great excitement and ecstasy in this moment. They praise the Messiah. We know it's a false, but for a few moments, what can you hear? Can you hear it? Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you hear it? The hundreds of thousands crying out as the king comes into Jerusalem, as he makes his way in on his journey. Oh, we know that those cries would turn to crucify him in a few days, but right now they were crying, Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David and who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna in Hebrew exclaims, save now. They wanted salvation. Save now. You know what they wanted salvation from, though? It wasn't from their sins. It was from the Roman domination. They were in subjection to the Roman government. And they had, in their mind, their preconceived notion of their Messiah was that he would come and deliver them from the Romans, not from their sin. And when he didn't line up with what their preconceived notion was, they crucified him. Their Hosanna, say now, turned into crucify him. Is that not show us a good indicator of our own human heart, naturally? As long as things line up, come on, as long as things line up, going to church is okay. Saying I'm a Christian is okay, but when it don't line up in what I believe it should be, you know what we'll end up doing? Chucking it to the side. The day of cultural Christianity is upon us. Where we pick and choose. We decide. There's many probably sitting here in this room that decide, I don't really believe that, even though the Bible says it, because I think this and this and this. Do you understand? If it does not line up with this, it's not of God. I don't care how you feel about it. Now, that might hurt somebody's feelings, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I want you to understand that he gave us a standard to each and every person in this room. It's the same one. It has nothing to do with how we feel, or how much, here's the deal, or we can use the umbrella of God's love to cover any sin. It does not work that way either. Thus says the Word. And when it lines up there, you know what it does? It brings unity, it brings harmony, it brings community. And that's what it's meant to bring. He is our Savior. He says, save us now. And the irony of this moment is that Passover lamb that they were taking in to sacrifice and to worship and remember what God bringing them out of Egypt, that Passover lamb was riding that foal that day. That perfect lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world was right there before them. And what they needed salvation from was sin and self, not the Romans. You see? What is it that we need to be delivered from this morning? Our greatest need is from our sin and from ourselves. The rest of it falls into place when we get that right. The true coronation was hollow. It was an empty pretense. The words were right, but their hearts weren't. Scripture tells us, and we know this, for God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. He gave his only begotten Son. It's whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See the King coming. Sunday is what it stands for. It's what we celebrate. He's coming. Then it says that verse 11, don't miss this verse 11 as we finish. It says, and Jesus went into Jerusalem into the temple, and so when he had looked around at all things, the hour was already late, and he went to Bethany with the 12. Tomorrow will be a different day. Things will never be the same again. The crowds have vanished, and he's taking inventory. Oh, he's king for a day. King for eternity. I thought about this verse. He's doing inventory and he's making his plan. What if Christ, we heard the doors open and Christ came into the church today and he took inventory of our hearts. He took inventory of our lives. What would he find? What would he find? See, no more playing games. When Christ comes in and he takes inventory, he has a plan. And that's what he's doing. He's getting ready for a week, his last week of his life, that he would give it for you and I. What if he came here, and he done an inventory? Would he find us worshiping as he's called us to do? Would he find you being a worshiper, a follower of him in obedience? Or would he find followers that were just like this group, hollering, King, save us! And then when it came time, it wasn't his followers. Sometimes I wonder if we're not like the crowd singing his praises. And when it doesn't line up with what our preconceived notion is, we want to get rid of him. Doug is over the Ashe County EMS. Appreciate that job, Doug. And EMS people, I was thinking about first responders today. Who's a first responder? Raise your hand if you're a first responder. Go ahead and raise your hand. Be proud of that. We need you. And we want them there. Listen. We want them there. Something happens. Accidents happen. Who's usually the first one there? That's why they're there first, aren't they? Sometimes we treat Jesus like a first responder. We want him there when we have trouble. Right there. We want him helping us. And you know what? When everything's okay, we just let him walk away. Go help. He is the Lord. He is our Lord. On this Palm Sunday, as we lead into Easter, what does he want from you? If he did an inventory of your life, what would he find? Applications, and we're done. Come and play here in the place. Do you understand that he is in control of your life? Do you? He's in control of your life. If he's in control, then what is he doing through, in and through you? Number two, do you submit to the Word of God? Does your life line up with this Word? When we look in the pages, can you find yourself and find your life? Number three, do you share his salvation with your family and friends? Do you share? Is Jesus enough in your life that you don't just sit on it yourself, but that you give it to others? Let's all stand to our feet. What's the Lord saying to you today? Are you lost? Do you know? Do you know if Christ came down this aisle and did an inventory of your life right now, not everybody else, but your life, would he say, he's my follower, she's my follower? Would they? Would he? If he wouldn't, you need to come receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Is he in control of your life? Are you sharing his salvation with others? These are all indicators of him in our life. Bow your heads before the Lord. Anybody need to come to this altar? Anybody need to be saved right now? Spirit of God's coming by. He's here. He's here on this Palm Sunday. What a great Sunday it would be to receive Him as personal Savior. He stands here waiting on you. He made that trip for you. And when you stop thinking about everybody else and you're standing before the Lord Jesus one day, which you'll do, will He say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant"? Will He be able to say that? Or will He say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You're lost. Come now. Come now." What is it? Do you need to do business with Christ? The altar's open. Do you just need to talk on this Palm Sunday as you go into Easter and just say, "Lord, I just want to praise you. I just want to give you thanks. I just want to say right now that I am yours. I want to live obediently to the Word of God. I want to let you be in control. Lord, what is it? I feel like you want something in my life. I feel like there's something you want from me." What's God saying to you? We're not going to tarry long. What about sharing the gospel with somebody this week? Take that card, invite somebody to church. Tell them about what Jesus has done. Just invite them to come with you. Invite them to come to an Easter egg hunt. Something as simple as an Easter egg hunt. They can sense the presence of God. Would you do that? Take a card and just invite them next Sunday morning for Easter. Invite somebody with you. Whatever He might be doing. Allow Him to work in your life. I love you. Don't forget the kids program. Don't forget to need some men to move this stuff. And